Welcome to The Third Way, a podcast to help us follow Jesus in our cultural moment from Fellowship Bible Church in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm your host, Aaron Blanton. In today's episode, we walk through a new tool to help us live out the third way. And we talk about real-world, everyday life examples where a tool like this can help us follow Jesus as people of the third way. Here's today's conversation with Rob and Lloyd. Well, guys, I'm so excited for the conversation today because we're going to be talking about living the third way as a tool we've developed. And if you're listening to the podcast right now, I want you to know you can go to fellowshipbiblechurch.org/third way, and you'll be able to download the tool there, and you can follow along with us as we talk through each part of the tool. And I love stuff like this, tools like this that give me handles, especially when we're talking about big concepts, biblical concepts, and can sometimes feel like, okay, I need some way to apply this. And I think this tool does exactly that. But I'm curious where it came from.
Yeah. Well, when we started the Third Way series, Lloyd, I guess that was back in August when we did the three messages introducing the third way.
Yeah.
We were asking people, hey, what are you thinking? Give us some feedback on this. A lot of feedback, a lot of people that were interested and excited. One of the common threads we started hearing is, hey, I like where this is going, but I don't know how I can practically use it. What does it actually mean to really put feet on this and make it practical? So we've developed this tool to make the third way more usable in practical everyday environments. And so we thought through what would be really helpful to people. And the format we came up with was, well, it should be Spirit-led. We want them to be having conversations with the Spirit of Christ around issues in their lives. Could be political issues that they're wrestling through. Could be a personal challenge. What would it look like to guide them through the third way in a conversation with God? So we have prompts for each part of the third way, and we have questions to interact with throughout the third way.
And I love that we're calling it living the third way, because it's only in the living it that we experience it. It's only in the living it that we change. It's not enough. I'm smiling because, you know, we've been teaching people to embrace the common confession, walk in the light, love without fear, hold fast to the truth, for he who calls you is faithful. And that really does matter. We have those truths, those principles. But they can't remain kind of on the shelf of our mind. They can't just remain as, hey, that's, I need to do that or whatever. No, you got to do it. You got to literally do it. And one of the things, Rob, I know we talked about a lot that we want to be so careful of is it's not a formula. You know, it's hard to say it that way because you go, wait, this is, you're saying do this, do this, do this, and do this because God's faithful. Well, yes and no. I mean, these are truths that we believe. And, you know, when we believe something, we know we believe it, as someone said, when we act like we believe it, like it shows up in our living. And so they are truths, but don't miss that the center of the Venn diagram is the cross. Mm. And that means the center of the Venn diagram is a person. Mm. It's Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to drill that in our own hearts over and over and over again. This is a person that we follow. Mm-hmm.
That's it. And that's what I've become more and more convinced of as I've been thinking about this in my own life, is my job as a person, even as a pastor, is not to engage the culture as Rob Sweet. It is to be a part of the body of Christ, and we follow Jesus, who is engaging our culture, mm-hmm. and he's engaging it through us, through followers of Jesus. So I really like the way this tool turned out, because mm-hmm. I think it's going to be helpful for people just to walk through it step by step and engage the Holy Spirit in conversations that will help them live the third way.
Lloyd, going back to something you said a second ago, it's like, this only matters if you live it. Mm-hmm. You can't just know it. This is something that we have to live out. That's why the tool's called Living the Third Way. It's not just the third way tool, right?
And so we're actually in the midst of a time of year where we're about to go be with family, friends, people for an extended period of time during the holiday season. And my guess is for all of us, potentially, we're going to have an opportunity to live the third way in maybe some unexpected ways. And could you walk us through how we might use this tool in like a real world scenario? Either one of you just kind of take the lead and just imagine sitting down at, you know, Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas meal, or just, you know, you're with someone who may, they see the world differently than you. And now I've got, I have a different perspective because
your blood pressure is rising. your mind is racing.
Yeah. And it's not just like breathe. Now we have to live the third way.
Yes.
Well, I think it's such a great example, Aaron, because whether it's the holidays, I mean, there are people might be listening to this other times of years as well, but how do we sit down and engage with people in our family, our friends that we know feel differently than we do, believe differently than we do, and are going to talk about topics that are going to make us feel really uncomfortable? So let's just name that as the challenge that we want to focus on as we walk through this tool together. And I love this idea. We haven't practiced this ahead of time. Let's just jump in and see how this helps us. So the first prompt is we begin with prayer, asking the Spirit for guidance with a specific challenge in your life. So, you know, listeners, I just imagine you're pulling up to the house where you're going to have your Thanksgiving meal. And like Lloyd, you said, the blood pressure is going. Pray as you go, asking the Spirit for guidance. And then that takes you right into this first one, walk in the light. The invitation here, it says, invite the light of God to shine in your heart, revealing areas that need confession. Ask him to show you the path forward and help you walk in spirit-dependent humility. So already that prayer is on your heart, and then there's some questions that kind of help you in this. So I'll ask the questions, and then Lloyd and Aaron, I'd love for you all to interact around these as you imagine yourselves in these situations. What attitudes or actions do I need to confess or surrender to God? And how might the Spirit lead me to engage this situation with humility and discernment?
Well, what I love about that is it shines the light on my own heart first. So often with, you know, people we have a disagreement with, or we're struggling with someone, their behavior, et cetera, it's so easy to just be looking at that and that's my focus, rather than beginning with a focus on my own heart. And when we begin to do it that way, I'm telling you, you begin to recognize, boy, there's sin in my own heart. I'm carrying some preconceived notions. Maybe I'm holding someone to a standard. Suddenly it's like, wait a minute, I don't even live up to that standard in my own area of life. And it's not, you're not browbeating yourself. You're inviting the Holy Spirit to reveal your own heart to yourself. God already knows your heart, but boy, when you see it yourself, it puts you in a different posture. It puts you in a position not of superiority. How about this? You're suddenly in a position of humility. I can approach this humbly. We were talking earlier, Aaron, and you were reminding us that, you know, when we're sitting with someone we disagree with, there's something to learn.
Yeah.
How about that? But if I don't go in spirit dependent and ask the Spirit to show me my own heart, I really probably go into those situations going, I'm going to straighten them out, or I've got some truth that's going to, as you said, explode their brain when they get this. And rarely does it happen, because think about this. Does that ever happen for you?
Right.
When someone comes to you and you can tell they're not engaging with you because they care, but they're trying to convince you of something.
Yeah, and I'll say this: I am not often good at praying before I go do something, and especially not with a conversation that could go sideways or whatever. It's just, I don't know why, but that's a practice in my life I want to get better at and I want to mature in, but I imagine praying first. ushers in a posture of humility probably like nothing else can, mm-hmm. because it's the invitation of God into the moment, into your heart, to say, God, I've got all kinds of stuff going on in me right now. I'm feeling it physiologically. I know I'm tense or whatever, or this could go weird. And just to stop and invite Jesus into the moment, I think is so, so good. And it's a beautiful way to start to live the third way, is to start really with the invitation to say, God, enter this moment with me.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's three more parts to this, and we're going to keep going through it. But I'll say, if all we did before these kinds of conversations is just have that kind of prayer y'all were just talking about, that would make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Well, I think of the psalmist, Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me mm-hmm. and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Mm-hmm. Begin there.
And I love the second question here that talks about the Spirit leading, because I think walking in the light begins with confession, but then it continues as the Spirit leads us, and the Spirit's going to lead you to say some things you might not have thought of otherwise, to ask some questions that you might not have otherwise if you weren't following the Spirit. So this walk in the light, these questions here on this tool are going to help you confess attitudes and actions that you may need to surrender to God, and then ask the Spirit to lead you as you mm-hmm. engage. And then we move on to there, love without fear. Let me read the prompt and the questions here on the tool. Picture yourself resting securely in God's presence, fully known and fully loved. As we trust in his perfect love for us, we are freed to love others without fear.
Huh.
And here are the questions to consider. What fears might be limiting my ability to fully express God's love in this situation? And what would it look like for God's love to flow freely through me?
With an image that came to my mind as you were reading that, Rob, was Jesus with the woman at the well. And I guess I go there because I think, okay, what fears might be limiting my ability to fully express God's love in this situation? Well, Jesus put himself in a very awkward cultural context and moment. And he was doing something that men didn't do in that cultural context. And of course, he did this all the time. And if it were me, I'd be concerned about, well, what are people going to think? Or what are people going to say? Or, and I just, Jesus, he didn't wrestle with that. He was not afraid. He had no fears limiting his ability to express the love of the Father in that situation, which actually takes me to another thought, and that is because Jesus lived his whole life in full submission to his Father. Mm. So I take this in the right way, but Jesus actually did step one. He was constantly dependent on his Father. Of course, he's not confessing sin, but he's right. consciously dependent on his Father, the Spirit in him. And so even in that moment, he had no fear to express love to that woman.
That's right. And I think fear, it oftentimes is a massive characteristic in a lot of conversations in our lives. Mm-hmm. And when I'm afraid, it's really, really hard to love. I mean, that's just the truth. It's a very blinding place to be.
Mm-hmm.
When you're living in fear, and when you're afraid that if I love this person or show love, I have to let go of this. And we've talked about that in other episodes. And as you guys taught the messages, I can imagine that when I picture myself resting securely in God's presence, that has a physiological effect on me.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't feel like I have to approach a conversation to change someone's mind or whatever. I can love the person, and it goes back to what we just were talking about with humility. I can't be humble if I'm going to be holding on to fear and I'm clenching my, you know, because I'm afraid I'm going to lose something or give something up. And it's really, I don't have anything. I'm not losing anything by just being loving, just being a listener, you know.
And I think going back to our the model that we're thinking of here is going into a family gathering where there's some tension because, you know, there could be some conversations that could be hard. What are you afraid of? Well, a lot of things. You're afraid of it being awkward. You're afraid of, I might lose control. I might lose my emotions. I might say something that they would judge me by. What are you really saying? I might lose relationship. And it's a family context, so the stakes are high. And what this is helping us do is remember where our true security lies, placing ourselves in the full love of God, and then just saying, you know what? My responsibility is just to let that kind of love just seep out, just ooze out. It's mm-hmm. only going to happen if I'm dependent upon the Spirit.
Yeah.
Only then can we love without fear.
Well, and it reminds us that that love is the greatest thing. It reminds me, I'm in this engagement with this person, and the greatest thing I can give them is love. Now, you know, of course we're going to get to the other parts of the process, which includes the truth, but love. That's why I'm sitting here, because this is a human being made in the image of God, whom I can express the love of God to.
When I'm holding fast to fear, I can't hold fast to truth. Which does bring us to our next. I mean, I don't want to jump ahead, but I'm just looking at it, going, okay. Oh my gosh, if I can let go of the fear and hold fast to the truth, it's a totally different experience.
I never put those two together like that. Mm-hmm. That's really helpful, yeah. Aaron. So, all right, this next part. Here's the prompt: God's word is truth, revealed in Scripture and embodied in the person of Jesus. Look to the written and living word to shape your beliefs and guide your actions. So that's the mindset that now, you know, we're engaging in these heated conversations here with our families is rooted in, I actually believe there is truth. I believe that God's word is truth expressed in Scripture, embodied in the person of Jesus. And now here are the questions that I'm going to be processing through. Number one, how does God's word shape my perspective and response to this situation? And secondly, what can I learn from how Jesus engaged similar challenges or people?
Well, I love that it begins with how does God's word shape? And that includes Jesus himself. So it combines the two. We're not just taking the Bible and saying, what does the Bible say about this? And this is what I do. It's what the Bible says about it. And how is that fully expressed through Jesus? Has he engaged with those who were not in the truth? I mean, you know, Jesus lived in a day, but most that he encountered, they weren't walking his way.
Mm, right.
And he didn't shake them, you know, by the ears, or he didn't argue with them, right? But he was truth, and he expressed that truth. And you go back to the second step we talked about, he loved without fear, of course, but he was holy mm-hmm. and true in all that he did. And I kind of like the second part of that question in that it gets me in that what you said earlier, Aaron, about, you know, when you imagine yourself in the arms of God, it has a physiological effect on you. When I do imagine Jesus walking in this house, sitting at this table, and I imagine Jesus is in me. Okay, Jesus in me engaging with someone I disagree with or engaging with a hard relationship. It does something in me physiologically mm-hmm. to imagine Jesus engaging. How's he gonna talk? What's his attitude gonna be? I don't know, if Jesus was sitting here, what would his pursuit be in this? To prove a point, to be right? I think it would be, not to overstate it, I think it would be to love.
Right.
Now, what that looks like.
Well, the second part of the second question in the tool for this, for Hold Fast to the Truth, is what can I learn from how Jesus engaged similar challenges or people? And I'm just literally hadn't thought about it till right now, but it's like it causes me to go back to Scripture, to go find the places mm-hmm. of in Scripture where Jesus is encountering people on all kinds of situations, and how did he respond? It's like I know those things. I've been following Jesus a long time, but I think we can forget some of the nuances and some of the things, and what might God want to say through his word when we open it up and read it, and he gives us a fresh perspective and allows us to connect this moment in time a couple thousand years ago mm-hmm. to right now. That is amazing to me. Hmm.
I think one of the things as we think about that, Aaron, that studying the life of Jesus, he asked a lot of questions. And he didn't mm-hmm. ask questions because he didn't know the answers. He asked questions as a way to draw out, as a way to engage, as a way to open people up, as a way to encourage people to consider things they hadn't considered before. He was leading them to truth, and he was doing that through his curiosity, through his presence, through his knowing what they most needed. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine myself going into a family context where I know, man, there could be some really hard conversations. I might think ahead of time, what might be a question or two I could ask somebody to understand their perspective ultimately so that they're going to be closer to Christ because he's the truth that I want them to know ultimately. Mm-hmm. But I've got to embody Jesus if I hope for them to know him.
Yeah. I do think about as well, now that we're thinking about sitting in situations like that and how Jesus engaged. Jesus didn't relieve the tension. You know, we talked about this way back a long time ago in one of our earlier podcasts that he let the tension remain. And holding fast to the truth is not winning the argument or making a point in a
right.
moment.
Right.
It's resting in what's true and trusting. Let's go all the way back to the beginning, trusting that the Holy Spirit is at work here. And only the Holy Spirit changes a heart. And here's what's crazy. You're engaging with someone, you know, you're walking in the light, you love them without fear, you're holding fast to the truth. And here's what could happen. You suddenly find yourself has been changed.
Mm.
Not the person that you thought you were going to change, but you've been changed.
And I think that leads us really well to this last part. For he who calls you is faithful. The prompt is to reflect on Jesus' promise that he is redeeming all things for God's glory. With this in mind, invite the Spirit to guide your choices and empower you to engage with humble confidence. And the questions are, how is God faithfully shaping Christ in me through this circumstance? And what step of faith is Jesus inviting me to take to follow him fully in this moment?
Mm-hmm. Well, step of faith. That means I'm gonna choose to trust God as at work and actually step into this conversation, this engagement, not knowing where it's gonna lead, not knowing what's gonna happen, but believing and knowing I'm gonna trust God is at work. And that's tremendously freeing to know. You know, we always think about, well, I may make a mistake. I may drop the ball. I may make this worse. Yes, yes, and yes. And he who calls you is faithful.
One of my favorite parts of this is the first sentence. Reflect on Jesus' promise. He's redeeming all things for mm-hmm. God's glory. Just imagine walking into a challenging conversation around a Thanksgiving table or a Christmas gathering, knowing that Jesus is redeeming all things, whether that's politics and government or social issues or family relationships, my own heart, all things means all things. And he's doing it in a way for God's glory. That's always Jesus' priority is the glory of his Father. That just gives me such confidence. And I think from that place of confidence, we have courage to engage. We're not called to not speak and just be quiet all the time. We are called to engage, and we're called to engage in a way that's Jesus-centered. And I think that reminder is what helps me do just that.
That's so profound to just consider that for a second. And when I'm looking at this, for he who calls you is faithful. Well, who is he? Well, Jesus is calling mm-hmm. us. What's he calling us to? to walk in the light, love without fear, hold fast to the truth. He will be faithful in that.
Mm-hmm.
As we pursue this life and of living the third way, he will be faithful to us in our conversations, in the way our life that we live with other people in our community, our families, in the situations we're in. And what that does is gives me so much hope.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not just confidence and courage to step into the hard places and the hard conversations. It's hope that, man, God is going to be faithful and he's showing up. He's at work. And that just energizes my faith. I can even feel it right now. And I'm so glad for something like this. It's putting it in black and white, even though it's blue and yellow. it's putting it in black and white where I can see it. And it's encouraging my faith even now.
It's reminding me of something that those listening, you won't get this at first, but Rob and Aaron get it because of some training that we went through when we were working on strategy and, you know, solving problems. And one of the things that we learned in that was we entered this thing, was it called a tunnel of chaos or funnel of chaos?
Tunnel.
Tunnel.
It's definitely a long, dark tunnel.
But listen, so think about this. You know, in this third way, we're inviting people to follow the person of Jesus, not the, you know, we had a conversation earlier, not the principle of Jesus, not the idea of Jesus, but the God-man Jesus who walked this planet. And when you read the Gospels, you see he went into some stuff. So we're called to follow him. In our training, and we were working through some of, you know, trying to solve problems organizationally, et cetera, we learned that You come with health, with stronger answers, solutions, et cetera, only when you're willing to enter and stay in the tunnel of chaos. And it's in that tunnel of chaos that, you know, the ideas get batted around, you get challenged, you're confused, you just don't know which way's up, which way's down. But you got to go in it and you got to stay in it. And as you continue to follow Jesus and follow that process, you know, you come out with something better. Same with Jesus. Jesus invites us. I'm going to tell you something. This world, the world's a tunnel of chaos. Mm. It just is, you know, and we go, I don't even want to go in that. Well, no, we go in it because Jesus invites us to go into that. There's not a relationship in this. No one's got a relationship in their life that doesn't have chaos in it. And you can ignore it. You can stand back from it. You can try and figure it out, but you won't until you actually step into it. As we say here, step of faith, not going, I'm going to resolve this, solve this, answer this question. No, I'm going to enter the chaos by faith. And what am I going? Well, I'm going in there by the power of the Spirit. I'm going in there holding to the word of God. And I'm going to trust that God's going to work things that I can't even imagine. And I want to say this, think about the journey of the Christian faith. It's not just follow these rules, do this, do that. Your life's going to work. Your life's going to be this. No, God's at work actually changing our hearts. And I'm telling you, it takes rumbling around in the tunnel of chaos for God to shape and change our hearts. And we can enter it.
And I think that's such a great analogy, especially as we're thinking about conversations with people that we're going to disagree with and have disagreements with us and mm-hmm. such a polarizing time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting about that, and I'll kind of bring it back full circle with this, is thinking about being in the tunnel of chaos makes me want to walk in the light. It makes me want to depend on Christ because mm-hmm. we can't do it on our own. And that's something that I appreciate about the third way for me, is it's really pushed me back to reliance on the Spirit. And I think that's what God would call us all to. So the tool ends with a reflection. It's an invitation to thank God for guiding you, because no doubt as we depend on him and we walk through, mm-hmm. It's a guided prayer is really what this tool is. He's going to give us clarity. He's going to give us guidance. And he won't solve all the problems, but he's going to allow us to take steps of faith. Mm-hmm. And then it says, pray for continued direction as you seek to live out the third way. And that's my prayer for all of us. I mean, the three of us sitting around this table right now, the body of Fellowship Bible Church, Christians all around the world, that we would continue to seek Christ's guidance mm-hmm. and live out the third way of Jesus.
Well, as we wrap up this conversation, it strikes me, we've been talking through this, and I've had in my own mind, you know, my situations where walking up the stairs, going in home, sitting at a table, whatever it may be, or going to a coffee with a situation that's difficult. And the tool is, I'm using it for me. But I also want to remind everyone that we are the body of Christ. And so when I walk into those situations, I know there are other people walking in the same way with this common confession of following Jesus in this way.
Thanks for listening to The Third Way. For more information about the cultural paradigm and to download additional resources that help you engage culture, visit fellowshipbiblechurch.org/third way. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you'll know every time we release a new episode. And remember, we are a people of the third way. Let's walk in the light, love without fear, and hold fast to the truth. For he who calls us is faithful.